I've been entertaining a subject here recently in the past couple of weeks, thinking about this thing called love and the manifestation of it, the truth of it, true love, love at first sight, and all that they say. And yeah, we get all kinds of things that say I'm loving this and I'm in love with that. And I want to look at this. You know, the Bible teaches about many different facets of love. It talks about the love of God, the love between brethren, love not the world, love for God the Father. But there are many different definitions of love, but just to talk about a few categories, there's one called Eros. There's one called Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. There's one category that's called Phileo. And then there's another category that's called Agape. These are all different categories of love. Eros, it's an intimate love. Intimate, it's romantic love, which is the kind of love or relationship that exists between a man and a woman. Eros, it's a carnal love with emotions attached to it. We may be more familiar with the words erotic love, an affection of a sexual nature. Then storge is a more of a familial kind of a love. It relates to family members. This is the Greek word for natural affection, such as the love of a parent towards a child, cherishing one's kindred, especially parents or children. I think Christians have a problem with this one, because Christians sometimes have a difficulty separating between agape and storge love, and also separating the two families. Because once you're in Christ, you're in a whole different family. You're in a new family because you're a new creature. And many times I believe we can be pulled from the family of God by the family that we were born naturally into. And sometimes it could be very confusing for us that where should my loyalties be now that I have two different families? But we'll just go on about that. That's one thing I've noticed. And as a Christian, you are my family more than my familial family is, as far as I'm concerned. I will give you my wallet a whole lot quicker than I will some of these folks that was born in my family. I know I will get my wallet back.
You're right on that.
Y'all might even put some little money in there for me. Surprise me. But some of these folks in my family, they say, what wallet? You mean you had a wallet? Somebody say they saw you with it. Not me. Praise the Lord. Now, the next one is phileo, or philia. It's usually translated as the kind of love that shows affection or personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling. It's like a brotherhood, like a fraternity, that kind of phileo. It's generally of a non-sexual nature. So some folks get that mixed up because me and my boys, we're always hanging out, and they say, man, something must be going on between them. No, we're just boys, man, you know. We're just hanging out. Yeah, I mean, you know, we share a similar ideas. We share similar interests. And so we hang out. And so folks would get that mixed up with Eros, and they're the ones that's weird, the ones that are putting those kinds of things on us. An otherwise honest relationship. Then the next word is agape, which refers to a selfless love. This is a high form of love. The word is used in the scriptures, charity, in 1 Corinthians 13, as it is translated in the Christian scriptures, and it's the God kind of love. Agape is one of the coiny Greek words translated into English as love, one which became particularly appropriate in Christian theology. Love of God, love of Christ for mankind. In the New Testament, it refers to the covenant love of God for humans as well as the reciprocal love that humans return to God. You cannot turn Eros love, return Eros love to God. You cannot return Storge love to God. You can't even call yourself a friend of God. He's the one that makes friends. He's the one who identifies friends. But agape love is a more freeing, flowing kind of a love. This agape love necessarily extends to the love of one's fellow man. That means it covers a broader area. Fellow man extension, divine, unconditional, self-sacrificing, active, volitional. You decide to do this. And thoughtful love. And it's wider, and it's embracing especially the judgment and the deliberate assent to will as a matter of principle, duty, and propriety. This is a love that you choose. This is a love that you determine to walk in. It's by your volition that you accept it and its operation in your life, and you move in that area. Somebody come and do you some dirt, and you forgive them. You forgive them. You accept them. You still pray for them. You still love them. You do that because you got every right in the world to cut them off. Some of the stuff that they were. There's a lot of folks you still haven't cut off because you've chosen not to cut them off. But I mean, you could cut them off and say, you know what? That's it. We are through. Mm-hmm. That'd be the last time they get to do this to me. And so God calls us to a higher level of loving for the purpose of souls.
Amen.
That's what it's written. Listen, you know, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. You know, we might need to write. I might need to post that around my house. I don't know, not for her, but I know for me. To have it stuck on the TV, if I turn the TV, oh, it's not about me. put it in the bathroom and put it places where I'm going to be. You know, after a while, you stop seeing it. So you have to move it around and everything. But really, the focus really is about Him and His kingdom. If you're in His kingdom, your focus is not on you anymore. It's on Him. It's about Him. So having given those preliminary definitions before we get into the latter part of our message, let's go ahead and pray and bless God, and then we'll get started. Lord, we are so grateful today for your wonderful love and kindness and grace. That's so much better than words. And Lord, as I say often and say again today, there are none like you in heaven, nor earth, or under the earth. You alone are God. And above you, there are no others. And I'm so glad, Lord, that when you were picking teams, you pointed to me and said, I want him on my team. Thank you, Lord, for calling me to your side. Father, I am ever so grateful to you for your grace. And in the grace, your grace in the lives of everyone represented here, because it's but by your grace that we're here right now. So, Lord, look upon us, Lord, visit us. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to hear this word. Help me, Lord, to not get in your way as I'm known to do. Then I ask that you help those as well to not get in the way so we can all hear and benefit and receive from what thus saith the Lord into our hearts. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
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 Here's the golden scripture. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was a powerful action that God took. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so you say, well, I chose God. No, he chose you. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And sinners do not choose God. The last thing a sinner wants is to be bothered with him and have to figure out what he's about. No, sinners go in a whole different direction. But God showed his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Both of the words used for love in these two scriptures, in John 3:16 and Romans 5:8, is agape. That's the volitional love determined by the one that's doing the loving. He determined to love this way. He determined to love us in this manner. It's love that's demonstrated by comparable actions. Love that can be seen. Love that can be experienced. Love that can be benefited from. In Matthew 26, Jesus began to tell his disciples about his coming betrayal. He told them about his coming arrest, his coming crucifixion and death, and that his resurrection in 3 days. Matthew 26, verse 31, we'll pick it up here, just a little bit here. Verse 31 says, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. Mm-hmm. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. In Luke 22, we see another little vision here of what was going on in that moment. Luke 22:31, we'll read, and this was all incorporated in that discussion. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Mm-hmm. Good God. You know, when you sift something, it's because you want to get the grosser things caught. You want the finer things to fall through. Satan going to show just what Simon Peter is made of, what's going to shake out when he sifts them. But thank God, verse 32, Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when, not if, but when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now listen at this, look at this wording. Peter had not been converted yet. Mm-hmm. Peter had not been saved yet. Mm-hmm. Peter was still on the other side there. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. So he knew it was coming. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Me and you are going to be locked up together. If it have to, we'll get locked up together. And if they're going to kill you, Lord, they're going to kill me too. That was Peter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You know, we can make a lot of promises and say a lot of things. And Peter made grand ovations to the Lord, declaring his love, and he declared his loyalty to the Lord. It was so much so that he claimed to be ready to give his life for the Lord. He was ready. But Jesus knew Peter, and he countered with information about Peter's coming actions. He said, I'm going to tell you something, Peter. You're going to deny me. that not only that, you're going to deny the very knowledge of me. Not once, Peter, but three times in a row, you're going to deny me. Not only did he not die for Christ, he disavowed any knowledge of him. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to hear who? I'm not me. You know, you were with him. You talking to me? I don't know him. Wait a minute, you.
Amen.
You find that Peter was all talk and no walk. All talk and no walk. Men haven't changed today. They haven't. The words "I love you" are given out like Halloween candy. I love you. I love you. Like Halloween candy. But like Halloween candy, they taste good, but could turn on you later.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. It tastes good. I love to hear you say, "I love you, brother." Oh, thank you so much. But then when it comes time for you to walk in that love, that's when we're going to see exactly how much you really love me.
Amen.
And you need to be paying attention, too, because it talks of the condition of your heart when these particular things are revealed.
Amen.
I knew a woman who told me that she loved her two little girls. When I looked into her eyes, I believed it. She convinced me. I felt in my heart that she really meant what she said. But time after time after time again, this woman would leave her precious girls at home by themselves for several days at a time. No food, no security, no mama. By themselves. These little girls would wake up in the middle of the night, terrified, crying for their so-called loving mama. But she couldn't comfort them because she was nowhere to be seen. Mama's declaration of love was mere words, but no comparable actions. You got a world full of that kind of love, y'all. You can go in any direction here, and you could find it if you could get in the house, if the children let you in, because mama say don't let nobody in if I'm not home. But the land is full of that kind of love. I want my children back with me. You know why she wanted them back? So she could get that check. I love them. I love my babies. But she leave them. I heard them screaming, "Mama! Mama!" And we've got a lot of that around. All talk. No walk. A parent will sacrifice for their children.
Amen.
I'm not going to go out partying because they need me here. That's where the love shows up. Oh, yeah, it's a headache. It's a struggle. Yeah, you want to dash them against the wall sometimes and make you so mad you're just restraining yourself. You don't do it. But you get there. But then you turn around and you fix some breakfast. And you hug them and tell them, "I love you." And the love is not just in words, but the love is in deeds as well. In John chapter 21, it records the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. You could go ahead and turn there. On the Sea of Tiberias, this was after his resurrection. So he kept his word. He was resurrected. And so they were out fishing. It was about 7 or 8 of them there. And Simon said, "I go fishing." And they said, "We go with you." And they were on the ship and they fished all night and they caught nothing. And they looked and they saw an individual standing on the shore. Of course, it was Jesus. And he says, "Children, have you caught anything?" They said, "We fished all night, caught nothing." He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat." And they caught more fish than they could pull in. And they said, "It's Jesus." And I don't know if you read the story. Peter jumped in the water and said, because he was naked. But he wasn't butt naked, He had his top coat was off. That's all. They say that in biblical terms. They say, "Oh, he was naked." It's like, nah, y'all. No, he just didn't have his coat on. So he put his coat on and jumped in the water. So anyway, they show up on the shore, and of course they realize now who he is. And in verse 15 in John 21, He asked if you had anything to eat, and he had already had fish. There were hot coals. He had prepared a meal. Whoever prepared it, the meal was hot and ready to eat. That's the kind of way I want to come off of a fishing trip, to have hot fish and everything ready for me when I come off my fishing trip. This is the best day in the world here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas. Well, there's no question who he was talking to. He called him by his father's name, last name, Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, there's more to the narrative, but I'm going to stop there, and then we're going to talk about these few scriptures because of the significance of what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to the story. There's a greater purpose for why he was asking him this question now. He was getting him ready for his ministry, and he was telling him what his ministry would be comprised of, and also the kind of death that he was going to die. So Jesus went on with the story. But let's key in on these particular verses, 15 through 17. In verse 15, here in John 21, he asked Peter, Do you love me? In other words, do you agape me? Simon, agape thou me? And Peter answered, Yes, Lord, I phileo you. Two different kinds of love was in the discussion here. So the agape question was whether Peter loved him as he loved Peter, as God loves men. But we can reciprocate the love of God with agape. And he says, Do you agape me? Do you love me like I love you? He said, I phileo you, like a brother. Yes. We're close friends. The answer about Peter indicated that Peter looked at Jesus as a good friend, as if to say that they too shared the same interest as close friends, homeboys, running boys, kind of. Yeah, we down. We're boys. Verse 16 in John 21, Jesus asked again, Lovest thou or agape thou me? Peter answered, said, Yes, Lord, I phileo you. In other words, I'm your friend. We're friends. It didn't come out there. Jesus knew Peter's heart, that he did not act as a friend the night that he denied him. He acted totally different. And I believe Peter might have been holding back. Now, in verse 17, in John 21, Jesus asked Simon Peter, he said, Simon Peter, phileo me? Do you love me? Are you my friend? Are your interests in me different than before the resurrection? In other words, do you feel the same way about me now as you did before? I mean, he was bringing it on home to Peter and said, Did anything change? Is it any different now that you know that I've been resurrected? Peter was frustrated, and in frustration, Peter answered, Lord, you know all things. In other words, you know all things intuitively. You're omniscient. You know all things. You know all things, Lord, by experience, that I am your friend. By saying this, Peter placed himself pretty much at the level of Abraham, who the Bible called a friend of God. I'm your friend. Only problem is that Abraham obtained this particular title because he believed God. And the Bible says that he was called the friend of God. That was different than Peter's actions. But he was taking himself to that level. Now, when two synonyms like agape and phileo, which are both used for love, are used in close proximity and context, a difference in meaning is emphasized. So what God is teaching us here is the difference between agape love and phileo love. And he was making it and bringing it home to make sure that Peter understood what was going on in him. Now, you're telling me you love me, but the love that you are telling me you have, you don't even have that. Or at least you didn't have it before the resurrection. So do you love me? Yeah, we're friends, we're down. Me and you down. You know we share the same interests. Oh, yeah, like those three times that you didn't act like you didn't even know me. Oh, mm-hmm. Right, you're a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you, Simon. Yeah. But it's talking about the difference. It's emphasizing the difference. And he did a wonderful job to emphasize the difference in these particular scriptures. It's good for us to know. It's good for us to know. When he asked Peter's about Peter's love for him, he used the word for love that signifies total commitment. Agape. Total commitment. That's what. Peter's response was not one of total commitment. It probably considered his previous denial of Christ. Peter was a little hesitant about coming out and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm totally committed to you." Because, well, not too long ago, as far as I was concerned, yeah, you weren't an item in my life. I denied you. I didn't even know you. So not only did Peter not go to prison for him, as he said, he did not die for him. And that was the greatest opportunity right there, was to say, "Yes, I know him, and wherever he is, I want to be where he is. I share his interest." He wasn't sharing his interest. He was sharing his own interest. And we have to be careful that are we sharing our own interest or are we sharing God's interest with our very lives? What kind of love do we have? What kind of love do we live by? The agape love is one of total commitment, and it's the highest love. And so that's a very important point. Peter's response was of phileo. Central message here again is that Jesus demands total commitment from his followers.
Amen.
Total commitment. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you can give total commitment. So again, remember, we're talking about two different men here. We're talking about the natural man, and we're talking about the spiritual man. And we're talking about man before salvation and repentance and conversion, and then we're talking about man after. Now, the same Peter that denied him, that looked around and pretended like he couldn't quite understand what they were saying, and cussed, matter of fact, and they said, "Well, he can't be. He was cussing like that." And they left him alone. It's the same Peter on the day of Pentecost that preached a message that I can preach right up here, that it wouldn't be any less powerful than it was that day that he preached it.
Amen.
And was it 3,000 souls were saved on his first gospel message? Why? The Holy Ghost came and filled them. And he stood up boldly. He said, "We're not drunk, as you suppose." I mean, we might act drunk, but we're not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants will I pour out of my Spirit in those days." And when he poured that Spirit out, new creatures began to walk on this earth that had never tread upon this earth up until that time. Completely new creatures. Now, Peter was a new creature now. Don't you know he was?
Yeah.
He was a new creature. It wasn't the same Peter that was there that night when he was sitting around warming himself from the fires of the enemies. He's at the enemy's fire, warming himself and cussing about Jesus. That's a whole different man. Comforting his own flesh. Comforting his own self. His hands are so cold, he's warming them by the fire. And say, "I don't know him. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about." And he started with his file, and he left them alone. And so we have to remember this distinction. There's a distinction. Everybody that say, "I love you." Let's be clear about this. It's an easy thing to say. It's easy to say, "I love you." But you watch how that thing walks. after it makes that statement. Mm-hmm. And they'll go jumping in with them as soon as they say it. I'm so glad I got somebody to love me. You got somebody to use you if you're that easy. About loving our enemies. Ooh. About loving our enemies. Agape and never phileo is used of love towards our enemies. Never phileo. It's always agape. It's the highest form. The range of phileo might be wider than that of agape though agape stands higher than phileo because of this moral import, which is love that expresses compassion. Phileo is not compassion. It's just me and you. We kind of trade interests. I know you like to play golf. I like to play golf. So we'll get together and play golf and talk about something on the golf course. But meanwhile, we like to play golf. So we have similar interests. We are phileo. We're brothers in that manner. But agape, it's a different one. It expresses compassion. And so we're therefore commanded to love or to agape our enemies and to do what is necessary to turn them to Christ, to do what is necessary. We have compassion on them because of their condition, because they can't see, because they don't recognize. But we are never told to befriend a phileo by adopting their interest of becoming friends on their level of our enemies. We're never told to walk away from who we are and from the type of love that we have to adopt them and become like them. We're not told to do that. And so we have to make that distinction. We are told to agape them because they don't know what they need. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. I didn't know I needed Jesus. And when I heard about him, really, I didn't want him. Not the first time I heard it. Because he was going to rain on my parade. You know? Yeah, I can't do nothing now. Which wasn't true. Because when he changes your heart, you don't really want a lot of that stuff anymore. You began to fall away from that. So anyway, we're told to agape our enemies and our neighbors as well, to agape them. Have compassion on them. They messed up, y'all. They're in bad, bad shape. And this is the kind of love. Now, about each other, Romans 12, 9 and 10 tells us, it says that we should love without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. It's talking about the body of Christ now. To love without dissimulation is to love sincerely and not hypocritically. Sincerely, but not hypocritically. Brotherly kindness in verse 10 here, believe it or not, is the word Philadelphia. Phileo is in that. But brotherly kindness is the word Philadelphia, which is a fraternal kind of an affection. It's an embracing kind of affection that we are to have one for another. It's to have brotherly love one to another. Now, we know about the city of Philadelphia. And isn't it amazing that they've taken that and they've used the name of the city of Philadelphia and they call it the city of brotherly love. Right out of the Greek.
Amen.
The city of brotherly love. So now you know the origination of that name. Now you know that they didn't originate the name. The name. It was recorded here in Romans, in your scriptures, mm-hmm. in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, identified as the way we should treat each other with brotherly or sisterly love. Or brother or sisterly kindness. So Philadelphia's name, if they say, well, the city is 300 years old or 200 years old, the name is so much older than the city is.
Amen.
They just took the name. But it's a good representation. And so the actions of love. Love is either a noun, which shows the name of love, or it's the verb, that shows the actions of love. Talk is cheap.
Amen.
It's easy to say things, but what about your actions? It's the actions that matter. And I've said many, many times before, I can hear what you do whole much louder than what I hear what you say. And what you do talks a whole lot louder than what you say. We've got to walk this thing out. Our love, we should put feet to it and love in an agape manner. We should love God with agape love. He's not your friend. Jesus is your friend. He said, I've called you friends. But he makes you his friend. But especially to love our enemies, agape. But as Christians, we can love each other as agape and phileo. Because we could have brotherly love one to another. And we can also love in an agape kind of a way. I need you to love me. I hope you will. Because listen, we make errors. We're still human. We still misspeak. Sometimes we think wrong about each other, about others. And we might even say what we think, and it could be so far off. I need you to agape love me. And say, well, you must have had too much cabbage last night or something. something ain't going right, you know. You just got something going on inside there.
Well, I know for me it's easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk.
Sure it is.
Walking the walk is very hard.
You got to pray to do it, brother. You have got to pray to do it. And for help. Well, yeah. It's some praying and a lot of obeying. So some of the stuff he tell you to do, you say, whoa, 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 wait. Do what? Go to their door. Don't think so. I'm going to pray some more. You don't hear nothing more than what he said to do. Praying and obeying. That's the love. That's how love is shown. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to hear this. I hope, Lord, we've been accurate here. We've answered questions and made comments, Lord. I hope that glorify you, because really, this is all about you.
Yeah.
How we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen.